Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with the chairman of Assembly Judiciary, Steve Yeager. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Susan Fisher, Nick DeArchangel, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
After the elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 workers were forced to find solar installation jobs in other states. Now, we have a chance to help put Nevadans back to work. Assembly Bill 405 would send a signal that Nevada is open for business. Don't let the clock run out on solar jobs. Visit yeson405.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shand.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, we're pleased to have back to the program the chairman of Assembly Judiciary, Steve Yeager. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me again, Sam. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Steve, and I wanted to start with a question that's not related to the legislature, but I wanted to ask you because of your daytime job as the chief deputy public defender in Clark County. There's talk that O.J. Simpson could be released from the prison at Lovelock this year, maybe by October. What do you think about his chances before the parole board?
That's a really good question. I think he probably has a pretty good chance of being released. You know, I know he's come up multiple times in front of the parole board, and typically when the parole board is making that determination, they're looking at the inmate's history in the institution, the disciplinary history. You know, they also look at the age of the inmate, and one of the things that we always talk about in the criminal justice system is the older you get, the less likely you are to continue committing crimes. Essentially, most people age out of the criminal justice system. So I would think in those two factors, he probably stands a pretty good chance of being released. All that being said, I've certainly been wrong before about what the parole board will do on a particular case, so I will be just as interested as you to see what their ultimate decision is.
So he needs four people to on the parole board to give him the green light?
I'm not sure if he'll have the whole board, or sometimes they do panels of what I believe, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe they'd have potentially three commissioners, and it's two out of three, or they could have the whole board consider it, and then it would be a majority vote. So I'm just not sure in his particular case if they're going to do a panel approach or the entire parole board itself.
Do you think that the murder of his wife and Ron Goldman will play into that hearing?
Well, I certainly think politics and public perception can play into whether an inmate gets released. I think in an ideal world that would not be the case, and we would look at the crime charge. But, you know, certainly I think that's always a consideration that comes into play. Even probably a little more complicated here is the fact that he, of course, was found not guilty of those crimes. But, you know, there is a widely held belief, I believe, in our country that he did commit those crimes. Now, I know the parole board is not supposed to look at that in terms of a prior conviction. But I think we would be being somewhat dishonest if we didn't say that would be a calculus.
Let's turn our attention to one of our favorite topics on this program, which is marijuana. And it seems because of the tax situation that everything is steamrolling forward and fast forward.
I think that's right. On the recreational marijuana side, you know, the governor has built taxes into his budget. So those bills do appear to be moving forward in both houses of the legislature. And, you know, we'll have to see on the assembly side. It's obviously a 2/3 vote. So we'll need to be able to count to 28, and we'll have a chance very soon to see if we're going to get there.
On that 2/3 vote, do you feel that, you know, the, always lying at the bottom of the legislature, the top, whatever, is a feeling of no new taxes by conservative Republicans. Do you think that there's going to, you're going to have trouble getting to 2/3, although it's only one Republican, with the, you know, with the no new taxes kind of cloud hanging over the conservatives' head?
I don't think it's a done deal at this point. I don't know that we've gotten to 28. You are right that assuming all the Democrats are for it, we need one sole Republican vote. Obviously, we'd like to have more than that. In response to the tax question, I think you are right. There are certainly folks in the legislature who are opposed to any taxes of any sort. I think this one perhaps is a little different because it's essentially a user tax, much like we tax alcohol and cigarettes, which historically have gotten broader support in the legislature. So my hope here is because we're taxing the recreational user in the so-called category of sin taxes that we've had here in the state, that hopefully we'll be able to get a few people to come along with us.
It was interesting this morning, listening to National Public Radio. There was a local interview with somebody from the Highway Patrol, and he was talking about corrections that will be coming up to this for a bill that hasn't even actually been finished and signed in the next session. What are your thoughts on that?
Are you referring to Assembly Bill 135, the DUI marijuana testing bill?
I believe so, yes.
Well, I want to give you an update on that. First of all, the governor is set to sign that at 2:30 this afternoon, so I'm looking forward to being able to attend that signing, and we have our two student doctors from Toro University, student Dr. Lambert and student Dr. Cullison, who are going to be here, so I'm very delighted because they've worked hard on the bill. But I do think the highway patrolman is likely correct. I think in future sessions, as the technology increases with respect to how to detect marijuana in someone's system, we really could see some updates to that law. Particularly, there's some really good technology that's being developed for breathalyzer-type testing for marijuana that would be available on the side of the road and would tell the officer whether someone had recently consumed marijuana. That's really not an option now because Assembly Bill 135 indicates that you have to have a blood test, but like most things in technology, this is progressing very fast, and I would expect updates in the future.
Do we know, for example, like in Amsterdam, where marijuana has been legal for many years, do they have some kind of testing that is more accurate?
Not any that I'm aware of. I mean, if you go onto Google and you do a simple search for marijuana testing, you'll see all kinds of videos and scenarios. I think some of them are probably scientifically dubious, but I'm not aware of any widely accepted sort of roadside test or breath test that would tell you about recent consumption.
All right, let's take a break. More with Assemblyman Steve Yeager when we come back.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Yeager. He's the chairman of Assembly Judiciary.
Stephen, I wanted to continue with this marijuana thread, if you would. Pardon the pun, but Nevada has a near zero tolerance policy for active THC, the stuff that gets you high in marijuana. It's only 2 nanograms per person. Can you really be stoned with just 2 nanograms of marijuana, active marijuana, in your system?
I think the answer is maybe. It depends quite a bit on the individual's characteristics of consumption, what their body type is, what their body weight and their body fat is. I agree with you that we are essentially a zero tolerance when it comes to either driving or really in the workers' comp context for active THC. That's a decision that state made some time ago. There were folks certainly this year in the legislature who wanted to see that changed, but I think like all things marijuana, we're trying to get this right. So I would suspect in future sessions, perhaps if we do develop technology that can tell us about individual impairment, maybe we could look at adjusting that 2 nanograms or maybe removing it altogether, because really there is the possibility now that someone could have 2 nanograms and really not be impaired, especially someone who is a medical user and uses heavily on a daily basis.
Do you think that we're going to see more research in the Silver State, because we're not seeing it on a federal level, on marijuana and these kind of issues?
I sure hope so. I think it's a great opportunity for particularly our universities here to try to be at the forefront, because as Ray had mentioned, we really want to get this right. We don't want to punish people unfairly for using a substance that's now legal. So my hope is that the Silver State can take the lead and hopefully develop some studies and some technology that'll help us get this right in the future.
And there needs to be a responsibility. Obviously, you don't want people driving heavy equipment, and you brought up workers' comp. Obviously, there are lots of scenarios where people should not be anywhere close to marijuana within days of doing their job.
That's correct. And, you know, nothing about the marijuana laws that we're advancing now change the fact that an employer in this state can continue to have a zero tolerance policy for marijuana in a drug-free workplace. So if an employer says, look, I'm not going to tolerate any use of marijuana, then any test, whether it's a blood test or a urine test that shows a positive for THC or metabolites, would be cause to dismiss someone from employment.
It seems, though, Assemblyman, that anybody who dares use marijuana now, even though it's a legal substance, is in jeopardy of getting a DUI, losing their job. I mean, although it's legal, it's still using it still comes with a lot of important risks.
Absolutely, you're right about that. I will point out, with respect to the DUI, of course, the driver would have to be exhibiting some other erratic behavior for the officer to pull them over. So keep in mind that hopefully that would result in some kind of buffer there, because there has to be a traffic infraction or erratic driving for that stop to be made. But in the employment context, it's especially difficult because, as you know full well, marijuana continues to be an illegal substance on the federal level, and I think that causes some real concerns here. And I would suspect that most employers will just continue to have a zero tolerance policy, because drawing that bright line is probably the only way to be fair and accurate with how employees are treated.
And, you know, one of the realities is that this is not something that is suddenly going to be brand new. I mean, there are a lot of people in the Silver State who are currently smoking marijuana on a regular basis.
You're right about that. And, you know, it's not atypical in the employment context to have a drug test before being hired. So I would suspect that would continue. I suppose on the workers' comp side, again, what we're talking about, an injury being suffered on the job before we'd be talking about some kind of testing. But you're right. And, you know, I think there's an education component to this as well. People just have to realize that there are risks associated with using marijuana, whether it's driving or whether it's in the employment context.
You know, changing the subject, Democratic State Senator Mark Menendo yesterday resigned his Transportation Committee chairmanship amid new allegations of sexual harassment at a time when an investigation into other sexual harassment charges against him was going on. Do you think that by resigning his chairmanship, this will put an end to this controversy, or do you think he could still face more punishment down the road?
Well, I don't have any personal knowledge of what happened, including the resigning of the chairmanship, but in the articles that I read, it seemed to indicate that Senator Ford was continuing with the investigation, having an independent investigator look at it, and there was, at least the way I read the article, it seemed to suggest that there could be some additional sanctions when that investigation was complete. I think the article that I had read indicated that because additional people had come forward, the investigation was taking a little bit longer than expected. So I would anticipate we would hear something in the near future. I think Senator Ford, being involved in the criminal justice system as well as me, is, you know, really concerned about due process. And I think once that due process takes its course, we'll have some kind of resolution.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for being on the program again. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And we'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Susan Fisher is here, VP of Government Affairs for McDonald Carano. Nick DeArchangel is the Director of Communications for the Nevada State Education Association. And Trey Abney is Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. Pleasure to have you all here. So MGM comes out in support of 50% renewables, and that's not going in line with other major gamers.
Right. Rock on, MGM. I am so thrilled about that. In fact, a friend of mine who had reservations at another property because he was going to Las Vegas next month for a conference changed his reservations to go to the MGM and stay there because of that announcement. And I just thought, that's pretty cool.
All right, so where are we at this point with Chris Perks' bill?
Well, we've got to get it out of the Assembly. We're working on rounding up votes. There is a lot of support for it. There's been a lot of concern expressed about, well, gee, should we do the RPS, raise the RPS standards now along with the ECI, the Energy Choice Initiative, or should we wait until that goes through? Well, data shows we've got a number of states in the nation that did them in tandem, and it's working. And I think that they are two separate issues, but they can work in tandem, and it can help. They'll help each other and help promote renewables in this state and get rid of dirty energy.
NV Energy is publicly being neutral, but where do you think they really stand?
We'll have to call Judy Stokey or somebody like that in and ask them.
Okay, fair enough. Nick, we're still waiting for the discussion on ESAs to actually go on of a legislature. Your organization has been certainly doing a lot of promotion against them on Facebook and other places. Where do you think this is heading, and do you think this is going to end up causing a special session?
No, I don't think it'll cause a special session. I think there's a lot of commitment to end the session on time. I think that the ESA voucher discussion is certainly it's being focused on here locally, and now we're seeing it nationally with Betsy DeVos and their push to privatize education. I think that, you know, as you know, Nevada State Education Association is very firmly against any type of public money going to private schools. And I said this in previous shows, that when people realize that it's just a failed policy on so many different levels that they'll back away from it.
Trey, you want to respond to that?
Well, I don't know where it's going to end up. I mean, the Democrats, what are the Democrats going to try to extract from the governor, or what are they going to demand that he support in exchange for ESAs? Now, at the end of the day, if he can't support what they want, then I don't think he holds us here over the summer for ESAs. And you remember, I've said this on this program before, ESAs were never Governor Sandoval's deal, right? The reason ESAs exist is because Assembly Republicans demanded them in 2015 in exchange for their vote for the commerce tax, which the governor obviously cared very much about. So this has never been, while it does seem to be a priority for him now, it was never his to begin with. And so, it's starting to center a lot around minimum wage and paid sick leave, some of these other kind of non-related bills and what the governor's willing. And right now he hasn't seemed willing to sign either one of those things. So we'll see.
Susan, Treasurer Dan Swartz told us on the show that he thought the governor would go to the mattresses for the ESAs and veto any budget that doesn't have them. Do you agree with that, or how do you see it?
Well, I agree with Trey. I don't think it was ever really his hill to die for. He supported it because it was part of an overall package, but I don't see it as his hill to die for. And it's, at least in my little world over at the legislature, it hasn't seemed as big a picture as it was last session at all. I think it might fizzle.
Okay. Nick, is there any scenario where the teachers' union, education in general, would support the ESAs to get a budget passed?
No, and I think, the core reason is that because it does such a disservice to students, right? And we just see it in other states. There was a report, NPR just did a report out of Indiana showing that private schools misusing funds and not serving students and the money not going towards education. And I think as long as people keep focused on how it impacts students, where they end up when they use these things, and how it impacts the students in public schools, it doesn't serve all students. There's no way that we could possibly support that.
Trey, let me change the subject for a minute.
Thank you.
What do you think about complaints from Republicans about Senator Roberson being left off the interim commission, legislative commission? Is that big of a deal?
Well, it's all partisan wrangling, right? Yes, usually the Senate minority leader is always on a legislative commission. They usually balance it out. We've never had a kind of a nonpartisan person before with Patty Farley kind of in the mix. Senator Roberson, who's certainly a friend of mine, hasn't helped himself by tweeting every other day about the leadership and what the Democrats are doing or aren't doing. So it's a little bit of, they're jabbing back at him, right? As far as normal Nevadans, I don't think they're going to care very much. But, it was he's been jabbing, and they jab back, and they're in the majority, so they get to do that.
Go ahead, Sam. Oh, Susan, Tick Seggerbloom, Democratic senator, told us last week that leaving Roberson off the commission is kind of like payback for 2015. And,
absolutely.
I kind of look at I remember Roberson being very rude on the floor to Democrats mm-hmm. when he was the majority leader.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And as what you just pointed out and what Trey said as well, it's retribution, absolutely. And it is a break with history. And as Senator Kiekhefer said, it's a little bit of a sad day because you hate to see these historical icons get displaced, and that position on that commission that's been there forever, it's always had the top leadership on there. So it's kind of sad to see that go, but we'll just see how it all plays out.
Yes, we will, and only a couple of weeks left to do so. Thank Woo-hoo! You all very much for being here. What, tired of Carson City? I can't imagine. We'll be right back. Thank you all very much.
After the elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 workers were forced to find solar installation jobs in other states. Now, we have a chance to help put Nevadans back to work. Assembly Bill 405 would send a signal that Nevada is open for business. Don't let the clock run out on solar jobs. Visit yeson405.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Business Workers' Comp Company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
On our next broadcast, State Senator Scott Hammond will see you then.